Hi, I'm Lashana Lynch, and you are listening to the Post-Credit Scene podcast.
Manny, what's going on, fella?
Nothing really, my guy. Arsenal versus Chelsea today, really excited.
You're excited because you think you're going to win?
Yeah, I think yeah.
That's the only reason you're excited. I hear you, to be fair. Yeah. I hear you, to be fair. What you been watching lately, Geezer? Let's have a quick catch-up before we introduce our very special guest.
Yes, yes, yes. What have I been watching recently? I'm rewatching the Toy Story film series.
That's really fascinating. Yeah. What sparked that?
I don't know. I think randomly one day I was in bed just like, let me watch something.
Toy Story
for Avengers.
Well, we're getting a Toy Story 5, which I can't wait for.
Yeah, I haven't seen 4 yet. So I'm currently...
Have you seen 3?
I'm currently on 3. You haven't seen 3?
Can't remember it.
3's the best one. I think it goes 3, 2, 1.
That's really interesting.
3, 2, 1? Yeah, it goes 3, 2, 1. I haven't seen 4 yet, so hopefully... I'll see you soon, or I will see you soon. Yeah, I'm watching the Toy Story series, really enjoying it. Recently rewatched The Hunchback of Notre Dame. I really enjoyed that film when I was younger, and I loved it when I was younger because I watched that at an age where you obviously watch like rom-coms or you watch films and TV shows where people are in romantic relationship and the guy always ends up getting a girl, and Hunchback of Notre Dame, that doesn't happen. And I was young, I was blown away by it. It's like, oh, but it makes sense it didn't happen.
That's the start of your character arc.
My character arc about the good guys not winning.
You just don't like good people winning. You don't like happiness.
No. I don't mind good guys not winning. It has to make sense. I don't like when good guys wins and it doesn't make sense to the actual story itself.
You do like seeing people struggle though.
Because it makes the victory earned. And I enjoy that a lot more.
Sometimes we don't get victory though.
Yeah, sometimes we don't get victory. And that's when I like it as well.
I told you, he's a sick one, man.
That's what I've been watching recently. And Player Robust as well.
How are you finding it?
I fucking love it.
Is it?
I haven't watched episode 4 yet though.
Yeah, I'm struggling with the start of 4. But I wasn't focusing. And I knew I wasn't focusing. You know, like when you know you're not locked in, it's the worst thing you can do. Interestingly, I was on TikTok live yesterday. I was having a discussion about TV shows, and some of the best shows that I've watched, I initially struggled with.
Yeah.
And I realised some of them, I just wasn't locked in. And you just have to give it your full attention. I think Mindhunter, for example. Have you seen Mindhunter? Oh, it's good, man.
Can I speak?
Of course you can. We will still intro you, but you can chat, man. This is a free space.
Okay, thank you. I was laughing like silently.
No, free it, man.
We do not silence black women in the show.
Thank you, I love that.
I was watching Mindhunter and I realised the first episode I was watching, I wasn't like focusing.
Yeah.
I was like editing at the same time. I was like, you can't do that. Went back to watch the first episode. I was like, this makes sense. This is class. So yeah, I think a lot of doom scrolling and second screen viewing is like a big thing in like TV, especially when people watch it at home.
Yeah.
But when you're locked in, you're like, so Thrones, I didn't like it initially.
Yeah, but I think the first episode is slow. But I think the reason why a lot of shows, I do the same, I feel, I struggle to get into is because I think the better shows are the ones that are a bit more unique. So it's not necessarily a pattern that's easy for you to get into. Like if you watch a sitcom, you kind of already know what the pattern is.
You know
the flow of it, so you don't have to concentrate as hard. But when it's a really good show, especially when it's unique, it kind of breaks away from the pattern, so it's a lot harder to get into. That's what I believe anyway. So like Mindhunter, even Breaking Bad to an extent, Game of Thrones, Perry Bluster.
Succession, I couldn't get into, you know?
It took me a while as well.
Succession, I couldn't get into.
I think I got Succession right away.
But it's because I hated the characters.
Fair.
I hated Roman.
Roman.
For what he did in that, you know, when he...
with the watch.
I hated him.
Madman.
I hated him. From there, I was like, I don't like these characters, but that's the point. You're not meant to like them initially.
Yeah.
And then like, as the episodes go on, you're like, there's some flickers of humanity within these flawed individuals. And like, I see it and I get it. So yeah, let's introduce our guest so she can actually just freely talk. this is someone we've wanted on the pod for a while, you know, making things happen. She graced us last year with a very, very, very special feature in her new newspaper, which we're really grateful for. One of the podcasts to watch. We've got Yolanthe on the podcast. Let's give her a round of applause. You can give yourself a round of applause as well.
It's also Yolanthe.
Yeah. Oh, goodness me. See, now I can blame Manny for that, to be fair.
No, there's no way.
I can't blame you for that.
Even when you said it's like, that's not a name.
I can't blame you for that, to be fair.
Why?
Because that's how you pronounce it.
I've never pronounced it Yolanthe.
Yeah.
I've not pronounced it like
British,
that.
Man. It's my fault anyway. Yeah, I'm British.
I get in so many variations. Yolanthe. Well, Yolanthe.
Give us the variations. Go on.
Yolanthe. Yolanthe. Yolanthe.
Your lump.
Yeah, that was
the worst
one.
See, I never went that far, man. I never went that far.
I think it's a T-H-E at the end, so people get a bit stuck.
Yolante.
Oh, yeah, Yolante.
Well, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
We really, really appreciate it. How are you?
I'm okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really excited to have a chat with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited. I'm happy. I love chatting, so.
Good to hear.
I guess.
It does help with a podcast, doesn't it, to be fair?
It's true. It does help us.
Manny, this is somebody that you've wanted on the pod for a while.
Yes, sir.
Could you give us a quick window as to why?
Yes. I think I first came across Yolante when you had the Black... Well, you still have the Black Pros podcast. I hope you release an episode soon. It's been a while.
I hope so too.
Tell us about the pod.
It's a really interesting pod. And I think when I first listened to it, I remember telling somebody, if I was to do a pod like on my own, it would be something very similar to this. Essentially, stop me if I'm getting this wrong, just talking to like creators or writers specifically, and trying to get their understanding perspective as to how to write, why to write, and what inspires them to write.
That sounds like a bit of you to be.
Yeah, it does, isn't it? Yeah, and I've really, really enjoyed that. I re-listened to the episode with Nathan
Brian.
Yeah. Really, really enjoyable. Really enjoyed the part when he was talking about the importance of failing as well. And I've told you this before, I can't remember if I did, but you remind me a lot of Elizabeth Day.
Really?
Your pods, yeah.
I met her like last week.
Yeah. You want to set in it?
She was really nice.
Elizabeth Day is one of my favorite podcasters. Really, really love her pod.
Tell us why, man.
So for similar reasons, there's an episode that she did with, oh my days, I can't remember his name, and I'm not going to even try to suggest who it is because if I do, it's crazy, don't remember. But there's a few episodes that she did with quite a few either writers or creators or even sometimes just celebrities. And again, talking about, she has this thing where they ask, she asks them your three failures, three most important failures that you had in life and how that shapes you as a person and as a profession. And it's really enjoyable and honest conversations that she has. There's like quite a few deep cuts. She had a conversation with Chimamanda. I think that was like a really, really good one. There's a bunch of other people that she interviews. But again, I enjoy hearing about people's creative processes, mm-hmm. what makes them who they are as a creative or as a writer, so on and so forth. And just nice to hear from them in that regard.
100%, man. Yolante, before we get into the podcast step and the whole discussion around journalism, I studied journalism, by the way. Ooh. Yeah, I studied it. Just thought I'd build a connection, do you know what I mean?
I love that.
Yeah, man. We want to know your Mount Rushmore of movies, your favourite movies. These are just your personals that have to be like the film bros' best.
Yeah.
Don't have to be the best of all time.
Why do you look at me when you say that? Like every time word is mentioned, but we can move past that.
I'm covering for Bisola because she would be the person.
Yeah, fair. They're working the energy that way.
But yeah, what is your Mount Rushmore and why?
How many films does it have to be?
Four. Yeah. If you're more of a TV person, you can go with that though. Depends on, because I feel like people either fall on one side of the spectrum or the other. Everyone loves both to some degree, but I feel like people
love one more than the other.
So it's up to you.
Okay, I'll say a film that I really still think about a lot. It's called Really Love. It's like it's not a rom-com. It's a romantic film about black love. And I really love the film, mainly because of the story and how it's shot. It's shot very beautifully. It's very immersive. And it's one of those stories where things don't necessarily work out how you would expect it to work out in a love film. But yeah, I remember watching it. I was just like, I felt like I was in the film almost, but as a viewer.
Yeah.
So I'll say that's one of my top films. What else would I say? It's like it's a hard question. I feel like I'm going to be judged as well.
No.
Yes.
I am.
Just a little bit.
That's fine. Say sweet.
I'm trying to think of a film. I like to think of the films or TV shows that make me think about it afterwards.
Yeah.
Another show that I really... a hard one.
What are the first ones that come to mind?
Okay, Reasonable Doubt. That's like a law drama film. No, TV series, sorry.
That one came out recently, right? Or
no, the third season came out recently.
Okay.
I'm still yet to watch. I'll say that film, that TV show as well, because it's about a black woman. She's leading it and she's a lawyer. And it's also about her life and who she is as a person as well. Let me see a film.
Something you've watched recently. Give us something that you've enjoyed this year. Something you've enjoyed this year that
the
stands
Smashing
out.
Machine.
Interesting.
Okay.
I really enjoyed that. Even though it's done really bad in box office.
I don't think it was ever meant to be like a smash hit though.
I know, but I feel like it's even like in terms of how it's been received by people, I don't know if it's been received how I thought it would be received. Like, I feel like Dwayne Johnson really performed.
He performed
in that.
Well, yeah, he was good.
Like, I believe his character, and you can tell you really put in the work to make this character real. And yeah, I don't know. But I think it's also that thing of if you've done a certain type of work, it's really hard to break out of that box. Yeah. And I find that really irritating because I feel like it doesn't give people the chance to grow, evolve as people, as artists, as creators, because they're told they need to do something. And when they try and do it, even if they're good, it's like, you're not meant to be doing that. You're meant to be doing...
Do you know what's interesting with that movie? I think The Smashing Machine wasn't actually... Naturally, we all want, like, a, when we put out our work to the world, we want everybody to receive it in a positive way, or just every as many people as possible to receive it, whether it's, like, your TikTok, whether you're putting out a movie, a TV series. But I think with The Smashing Machine, I think there was a bit of a different intention with that for him to be seen differently from, like, purist movie lovers and journalists and critics. And I think he did that knowing that The Smashing Machine might not necessarily do the box office numbers that he would have done previously because it's just completely different work. And I think he kind of made peace with that, and that's why he did The Smashing Machine. And it just might take more work for him to continue to change people's perspectives, because he has done good movies prior to becoming, like, the big action superhero, rock star, muscle man action hero. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? He's done that before, so he's capable. And I think it just might take a bit more, like, time for people to receive him in a different way. It's the same thing with Robert Pattinson, and he obviously did Twilight and did Harry Potter, and everyone was like, oh, you know, vampire, and he's the heartthrob, and he said, no, I'm gonna go away, I'm gonna do some independent movies, I'm gonna do Good Time, I'm gonna do Cosmopolis. And then slowly but surely he's earned the respect and acting chops as, like, oh, I'm an actor.
Yeah.
And now he's doing Batman, he's doing Dune, he's doing The Odyssey. And I think sometimes you just need to give them, just people as a whole need to give, like, actors time to find themselves.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
completely agree. One thing I need to mention that I watched recently.
Go on.
For the first time. I watched Love and Basketball for the first time.
I haven't watched it. I'm actually ashamed to admit that.
And I thought I was going to dislike the film.
Did you like it?
Why did you? That film is cinema. That film is actually, it might become one of my favourite films.
I haven't seen it.
It's a great film.
I haven't seen it, you know?
I don't want to give, it's obviously I wouldn't even call it a rom-com. It's like romantic drama more than anything else, about two people that grew up next to each other, both lovers of basketball. And then we see their journey through four different parts of their life, because it's split into four quarters because of basketball. Four parts of their life, and then what the eventual end becomes. And there's an end scene that people constantly talk about, and they made it sound way worse than it actually was. When I actually got to that scene, it's like, bro, this makes sense. You guys are just haters. But it's a really good film. I actually really like that film. Really like the film. But yeah, Love and Basketball, shout out.
I've been meaning to watch it, but I just haven't.
Lock in, man.
Yeah.
Lock in.
There's so many things I need to lock into in terms of watching and films.
Like what?
Love and Basketball's one.
Do you know the question I want to ask you?
What?
What's the one thing that you're supposed to have watched that you haven't, apart from Love and Basketball?
Good one.
Oh. We've all got them. Don't worry, I've got mine. I still ain't seen, I don't know, Chernobyl. Because you know the type of shows
when
Chernobyl.
When you said limited series, when I saw it today, that was my answer.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen... Did you type it in?
No. Wait, I was busy setting up.
Yeah, your piece of shit.
I was busy setting up.
I haven't watched Game of Thrones. Wait, why are you guys looking at me like that? Wait, why are you guys just silent looking at me?
I don't know, man.
You said I should be honest. I'm being honest.
Yeah, no. It's just...
I didn't know how to react.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Game of Thrones.
Ever plan on...
I don't actually know if I'm planning to actually watch it.
There's no point, really and truly. There's no.
I disagree massively,
did
man.
Did you not enjoy it? Or?
I think it falls off so hard that if I could go back in time, I wish I never watched it.
I think that's
after extreme. What season?
So for me, after season 6, it smalls goes down slowly, and then 7 and 8 are dreadful for me. Oh. So it's one of
Manny,
those
don't
ones.
Even speak, because I know what you're going to say.
Where I feel like I wasted a decade. So every time that these lot talk about or bring it up, like. You know that office?
It's PTSD, innit?
Literally, that's all I have. I'm like, why did I bother?
I still have it as one of the greatest of all time. I still have it. I think those first four seasons, the storytelling is so, like, it's close to immaculate.
Yep.
And you get so many great character scenes. Just like conversations, and I love that. Beyond big action explosions and dragons and night kings, and the character relationships are so fascinating, and they're so sort of intricately webbed through across the seas, across different characters and where they're based. I just do think that it does dovetail off from like end of season four. You see a slight dip, and it's a continuous gradual dip, and then the last two is quite steep. But what it has done, obviously, is create like a new universe. It's got like House of the Dragon, you've got Knights of the Kingdom. So I think like for what it did for fantasy,
yeah,
in terms of bringing people who might not have been into fantasy into that world, and what it did, became like a pop culture sensation, I think it's worth being part of that, even if it's retrospectively. Okay. But he's right, it does. But you know what I would say with Thrones? If you're watching it at the time, I think it hurts more how much it falls off compared to if you're just like season 1 to 8 and you just binge it through. A lot of people that I've watched it afterwards have been like, oh, that ending weren't that bad.
Yeah.
I was like, you had to be there. You just had to be there to feel the fall off. But let's get into the episode, man. We got you here today to obviously talk to you about your sort of career, as well as just your thoughts on the state of journalism within the film and TV space, and maybe just journalism as a whole. Before we do so, how did you get into the line of journalism? Have you loved writing? Have you loved conversations since you were a child, or is it more of a thing you picked up afterwards?
So I actually wanted to be a lawyer before. So I studied law at uni. But I would always write on the side, like poetry.
Okay.
I used to have like a blog. But I never saw writing as like a career for me.
Why not?
I don't know. I didn't see journalists or black journalists.
Black journalists.
And even when you're in school, it's not like a career that comes up in terms of, like, you know, when you do careers day, journalism isn't really a career that comes up.
Mm-hmm.
So it never crossed my mind to become a journalist or to consider being like in a newsroom. I think it was when I was in my final year of uni, I was doing a lot of work experience in law firms, and I was like, this is actually really boring. I don't want to be a lawyer. And it was very hard thing to admit that I changed my mind. And I think sometimes when we have dreams and goals, we like force ourselves to commit to them because we've told ourselves that's what we want to do. But then when we realize that we've fallen out of love with that dream, it's like, ugh, you feel like you kind of failed. And that's how I felt at that time. So I finished my degree, and then I went to do a master's in journalism. I joined at the student newspaper at uni, and that's when I was like, oh, I actually really like this type of writing.
Which uni did you go to?
I went to Essex Uni for my law degree, and then I went to Goldsmiths for my master's in journalism. So I did that was a year, and I think that really helped me set like a good foundation for what journalism is.
I have a question for you. Do you think that enhanced your writing or your thoughts on the way writing should be in any way? Because I know some people just write and they're just falling into the pattern of writing, and then it becomes a love, and then you find your way slowly but surely. Then you've got the academic route. What did you sort of gain from the sort of academic perspective?
I think I gained a foundation. I wouldn't say necessarily enhanced my writing, because I found that in every newsroom, everywhere expects you to write differently, which is, that's another frustrating thing that I find quite annoying. But I'll say it helped me understand the nature of journalism, because there was like a lot of video. I had to like make my own documentary with my mobile phone. I had to do a lot of coding. I had to like create websites to put my articles on. There was data visualization. What else was there? There was news writing, feature writing. So it was a good foundation. But I wouldn't say necessarily enhanced my writing.
So it's everything around writing that kind of helped you. Everything around the writing, sorry, shall I say.
Yeah, and how the industry works and what was expected and what I should be putting into the work that I'm putting out there. I think it probably encouraged me more to create my own avenues or show my own commitment to journalism through doing my own thing. I think that's what the degree taught me more than anything. And I did that for a year. And then after that, I then was trying to get into the newsroom, and it was very hard. Like, very hard. I think my first like journalism job was at Woucher.
Okay.
You know the deal site?
Yeah.
I worked there for about 8 months, and I was like basically a sub-editor, I was production executive there. And that job was a good way in, because I used to watch Netflix whilst I was at work. My screen would be split in half. Netflix at one side, work on the other side, editing like the deals. That's what I used to edit, the deals on the site. And it was just a very chilled, young environment.
Oh, sick.
So I was just applying for loads of jobs, and I eventually got a job at The Telegraph on their editorial graduate scheme. And I remember when they called me, I started laughing. I started London for a while, and he was like, is everything right? I was like, yeah. I was like, are you joking me? Like, I was a bit confused because, one, I felt like, I almost would say I felt like a dark horse in my interview process, because I didn't really go to Cambridge, Oxford.
Yeah.
I didn't really have much experience in the newsroom. I didn't really have many bylines. I just felt like, are you guys sure? And I even asked them why. And the lady said, because...
Why would you
believe in your own source, man.
But no, we do the same thing all the time. We say, why do people watch the podcast? Yeah. Like, what are you doing with all the time you've got in your day after work?
You've got to listen to me talk.
You've got to listen to the crazy people, man.
So I was like, why? And she was like, oh, because we feel like you're very teachable and you're like into those four stages. Before you're very teachable. I was like, oh, okay, thank you. So anyway, I got that job and that was for 2 years. And I think that, I'll say, is what really improved my writing.
Mm. What was the time period of that when you got that job?
What do you mean? You mean how long I was there for?
When you started, sorry.
Oh, so from my master's to the job, you mean?
No, when the Telegraph said, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What year was that?
Oh, I started there in 2018. So I left Woucher after eight months and then I started the Telegraph in September. So I had like a good gap, between that job and the Telegraph. So I was there for 4.5 years in total.
Okay.
But the graduate scheme was 2 years and I like spent time in Liverpool for 3 months. I spent time at my current workplace for 3 months. I also spent time at different parts of the paper for 3 months as well. And after that, we then got given a full-time role. Mm. That was like I think that really trained me because I got on-hand experience.
Mm.
I think that's the most important thing, doing the work rather than the theory.
Mm.
Yeah, doing the theory only helps you so much or takes you as far.
Manny, what's something you admire, just generally speaking, when it comes to writing? Like when you're reading something or you're considering reading something, what's something that you look out for? Especially, I guess, when it comes to journalism, but writing as a whole, I guess it all falls into one bracket, innit?
Yeah, I think there's definitely a few things. I think one of them might be seeing people explain, like, for example, if it's like a film review, seeing people explain something about a film that I wasn't able to articulate.
Mm.
Like, I feel the feeling, I just don't know what that feeling is. So when I hear somebody like articulate it in such a, in layman's term, I feel like that's a really great way. I feel like that's what journalism is meant to be.
Mm.
Or critiquing things is meant to be in general, because when we consume a bit of art, we all feel something. And I think as journalists or as a critique, it should be your job to be able to explain how you feel it. And the better that you explain it, I think the better that you are as a critic. Whether it's a feeling of indifference or a feeling of joy or feeling of disappointment.
I have a thing on that, and it's just going to sound so shady, but it's not meant to be. When I see people do reviews and they just say, this was good, and you don't tell me why, or it's bad, I hate that. That really hurts me.
That's not a critique then.
It's not.
Opinion.
Yeah, and I really, really can't, because obviously I get it in the space where you want your words to be too long, you don't want your review to be too long, or you don't want your video to be too long. At the same time,
explain.
I need to know why. Yeah. I need to know the why. I'm always intrigued by the why. Whether it's a human being, whether it's something they've written, I need to know the why. And I find that frustrating when people don't say, oh yeah, this was good because... And even if I don't agree...
Yeah, but still...
I want to know, like...
Yeah.
Because at that point, all you're doing is stating how you feel about it, but you don't tell me why. Mm. So I think like, that's the good in the critique, because I can watch something, like, I can... There's things that I've watched when I was younger, and I could tell you how I felt about them, but I can't tell you why I felt about them, because obviously I was too young to.
Yeah, for sure.
Or I just didn't care to actually critique it properly. But now at this stage, if I'm like watching somebody's analysis or watch somebody critique something, I need to understand why you feel that way.
Mm.
And I think that's what makes a good critique, when you're able to explain your personal feeling. And then with that, I'll be able to make my own assumption, whether it is, oh, I might like this film or might not, or I understand what you're feeling. Or I might not agree with you, but I get why you feel that way.
Mm.
But yeah.
Oh, fair enough. Yolante, how did you then, I guess I'm intrigued as to like how the film and TV passion, love coincided with the writing and the journalism. How did that become a thing for you?
So when I was at The Telegraph, I was a features writer there.
Okay, cool.
So I didn't do as much culture journalism, but there was times where I'll be able to do write about cultural things.
Mm.
But I guess with feature writing, it's about bringing the human face to the story. So I've always been interested in people and who they are, why they are the way they are, their stories, why they do what they do, whether they're a celebrity or just a regular person.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been really interested in doing that. So I think feature writing really was a good foundation for me. And then But when I was at the Telegraph, I found a way to get experience from different departments. So I sometimes would write stuff for the culture desk, or I sometimes write stuff for the sports desk. I did a lot of women's sports stories as well.
Nice. Okay, cool.
And I had I looked off this interview column called How I Move, which is basically where you interview people that aren't sports people about the way they move their bodies. Okay. And that was also really interesting. But the, I'll say the cultural TV film came into my career when I started working at my current workplace. Before, when I joined there, I wasn't actually doing that role. Okay, I was I still have the same job title. So I was a senior lifestyle reporter. So I was doing lifestyle news, so which is kind of more my background. And then my editor, she knew that I really loved doing interviews. Like, I really love interviews. I love reading them, love doing them. I just love knowing people and getting to know them. And I love making them feel comfortable to share things with me.
Yeah.
So a role came up where I was able to basically just do interviews for entertainment. And that's how I got into the TV and film side of things. Mm. Even though I enjoy TV and film, I would never actually cover it as a journalist. I was very much a journalist who covered everything. I didn't really have a beat. But now I have a beat, which is quite interesting. Mm. It's been very fun and different experience for me. But I'm enjoying it.
How long have you had this specific beat?
It'll be a year. Next year, August.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a funny way to say it started in August.
Fair enough.
He's like that.
But I didn't start this job in August though, because I had another job. So yeah. I've changed jobs So when I joined, I had the job and then I changed to this job. Mm. And I said, in total, I would have been at my current workplace for 3 years. So yeah.
But your roles have changed in that time, essentially.
Yeah. So that's why I'm doing more TV and film stuff now.
Oh. Manny.
Yes, sir.
How are you, man?
I'm good, my guy, man.
Are you here to be shady or are you behaving yourself?
I'm always behaving myself.
Okay, cool. genuine question, though. What are your thoughts prior to the podcast?
Yes.
Because we've been doing this is our fourth season now. And obviously our perspectives have altered and shifted in that time period. Obviously we've become more aware of the space. I think when we started the pod, we might not have had as much of an interest in the pure journalism of it. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean we weren't caring about being good at what we do, but the more you're in the space, the more you become aware of what junkets are, red carpets. And we did our first red carpet in our second season with BFI, I think. That was our first red carpet.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, then yeah.
What were your thoughts on just the journalism in film and TV prior? Did you have an attachment to it or not really?
Not in the slightest. I don't think I ever really engaged with interviews for films in general prior to starting the podcast.
So then I guess my question is, what are your thoughts? What were your thoughts in as a marketing strategy? It just didn't resonate with you.
Yeah, it didn't, because I don't know. I think I just watched Traders and then I watched the film.
That was enough
TV
to
show
the movie.
Yeah, that was enough for me. But there'll be times where on the back of that, if I really love something, I'll go do a deep dive, get a better understanding of it. But it was never really about interviews, more about the characters and more so about the writers and rather than the people that were on the show. That's usually people that...
Yeah, you don't give a shit about the actors, really, should you?
That's not true, but yes.
Oh, yeah, for PR purposes and whatnot, of course we care about the actors, of course. What do you mean?
For the most part, obviously I respect and appreciate acting as an art form, amazing, especially in theatre, flipping love it. But I'm always more drawn to the writers in terms of...
Because they create that world.
Yeah. Is that the world building?
Yeah,
so yeah.
Snobs. Yeah,
sorry, definitely. But it's true.
No, I'm playing as you can.
And I feel we hear from actors quite often. Always heard from actors. So I do gravitate more towards the writers or even the directors a bit more. Now, directors more now because I have more of an interest in actual cinema. But yeah.
You interested me when you said he said he's a fan of Succession. And I think he watched it. I think you caught up when season four was starting.
Yes.
Just before season four was starting, I think.
Yes, I can't remember. Right around that period, yeah.
And one of the things you have continuously said is that you'd love to speak to Jesse Armstrong.
I would love to speak to him, man.
Tell me about that.
It's just the way that the world that he's created and the character that he's right. It's just really interesting to me because I haven't watched a show like Succession. I can't think of a creator that has a show with characters like this consistently. And not only the characters and the personality, but also the arcs that they go through. And even the decision he makes, for example, what happens in the last season, episode two, The plane thing. I don't want to spoil it for anybody. I feel like it's such a bold decision to make as a writer to, and I find stuff like that so interesting because it's very risky. Even it being based around the family that it's based around, it's such a risk to take. Some people might not gravitate towards it. I don't know.
I don't think Succession should be a hit series based upon the premise of it. And that's not to say now it doesn't deserve to be. I just don't think it's the type of show that I would have seen previously that people would have been like, this is one of the greatest of all time, or could be in that conversation kind of thing.
I see what you mean.
Do you know what I mean?
It's very particular.
It's so particular. It's so British.
Yeah, very.
But it's an American made series. It's Shakespearean in one sense, but it's also like ridiculously dumb and stupid and very comedy led in another. But it's also got this great drama to it. It's got so many like different layers, even the way it's shot.
Yeah.
And it's got that sort of The Office sitcom.
Like mockumentary style.
Yeah.
But
it's a weird mix.
To me, in the most respectful way that I can say this, he writes like a teenager. That's what I get from...
So you have to explain that.
No, I will. Like, there's like a level of rawness and excitement that you see for somebody that's unpolished in terms of like writing. And not just like... It's like watching, like for example, if I can put it in sports term, it's like watching a kid play football at the age of 13, 14, when there's a level of flair, a level of excitement that kind of gets taken out of him the more professional he gets in, because he has to sharpen his tools to an extent and a bit more...
As a fit within the system.
Yeah, within the system. And I don't get that with his writing. So I feel like when I say he's writing...
He breaks the rules.
Yeah, man. He just seems excited to write to do what he does.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
That's the feeling that I get from... Even when it's like... scenes or episodes are a bit more darker. Like, for example, in the entire history review, I don't know about this late season, but at the time, he was the only person that's ever wrote a Black Mirror episode by himself without Charlie Brooker being involved. So it was just all him. And even that episode, in comparison to, obviously, I love Black Mirror.
Entire history is used when you can watch back your memories.
Great episode, and even the way that it ends. It's just like, there's a level of uniqueness and a level of freedom that I feel like he has in his writing that I feel like you only really get that from people that are inexperienced. But he's done it in such a way where he's obviously a very good professional. Mm. But yeah, he writes like a teenager to me.
Yeah,
that's what I can say.
Yeah, that's fair enough. One of the things we wanted to talk to you here today about is the current space within like film and TV in terms of the art form of journalism, posing questions. I feel like we see it all the time. Every time there's like a junket or an interview or a red carpet, we see the conversation come up about journalists versus content creators versus influencers and then marketing for movies. I think recently we've seen the Fantastic Four. There was a few, I'd say, bogus questions. I'd like to use the word bogus for that.
Yeah.
Millie Bobby Brown. Chase Infinity.
Yeah.
Had the interview recently where she was asked a really odd question regarding her co-star. And I think there was... last year, Manu, what was it? It's going to bug me, so I might have to move on from it. But there was a question asked to Austin Butler for the Dune. It was Timothée Chalamet and Austin Butler for Dune. And again, just the questions posed to them sparked rage online from like people who love movies and TV shows. Just as an overview before we get into it, what are your thoughts on the current state of journalism? Just overview.
I'm scared. Like, I'm really scared because, like, even if someone else asked me, like, do you think I should get into journalism or what advice would you give a journalist? The first thing I'll think of is create your own thing.
Okay.
That's the first that I wouldn't think about going to uni or studying it. In like, I wouldn't think about, I'll say create your own thing because journalism has changed so much. And you kind of see it more when you're in the newsroom versus when you're outside of it. I feel like newsrooms, we're still very safer. We don't really... How do I explain it? Because there's been a certain way of how news is told, especially when it comes to like newspaper journalism or broadcast journalism, I feel like there's this resistance between technology evolving and journalism like always playing catch up.
Yeah.
So I think the current state of like journalism is quite scary, but it's also very exciting because it also means that you don't have to rely on traditional publications to sort of co-sign you.
Yeah.
Even before I joined a newspaper or publication, I was always told that you're a journalist without these places. Like, it's a way of being, it's the way you think, it's the way you view the world. I think I always took that into whatever job I was in. And I remember it was actually my mum. She used to say to me that at the end of the day, publications hire you because you have a skill and talent that you're offering to them. And sometimes we see as publications hiring us, and we should be grateful that we're there. And I think now, I think social media has sort of like leveled the playing field a little bit. Because now sometimes publications are reaching out to creators to do journalism for them. But I think maybe the issue that I have is maybe when the type of questions people are being asked or when it's not, how do I explain it? Yeah, just ask thoughtful questions.
Yeah.
That's, if the questions aren't thoughtful, I just don't really understand what we're doing.
Yeah.
Unless your brief is concepts or games, fair enough. But if like you have 5 minutes with someone about something they've worked really hard on,
yeah,
don't waste their time. That's how I go into interviews. I don't want to waste anyone's time. I want to make sure that they feel like, because they're going to be asked the same questions over and over again. So I want to make sure when they're speaking to me, they're not like, oh, I spoke about that just not too long ago. I want them to feel challenged. I want them to feel inspired by the work. I want them also to like rethink about the work they've put out into the world. And also let them realize that people actually understand or appreciate it as well. So I think that's when I'm just like,
yeah, it's a good start, to be fair. Yeah. Manny will take the baton for you. No, because we've had these kind of conversations for quite some time on the podcast, to be fair, bro. Like, we've spoken about some of the weird junkets. And you know what? I don't want to be the type of person that says we can't have fun with these type of things. Yeah. But I think it's important to be able to draw the personality out of the individual to make them feel comfortable, to make them feel at home. And I think there's a balancing act that we can find within that space. But I want to know your just overview thoughts as well as 2020, coming towards the end of 2025. You've been in the space 4 years, give or take. You've done your fair share of interviews and red carpets. What do you think of it as it stands?
I think there's definitely needs to be a lot more consideration in terms of like the question that people ask. I think the most important thing in terms of outside of what your approach is to asking questions, that you need to have a level of care of the people that you're actually speaking to, and also a level of respect in terms of what, like, these are artists that I've put in work into this. So I'm sure they will appreciate the fact that you're actually taking the time to ask questions about the art. But also think, we live in a space where social media reigns supreme in terms of promotion and marketing. And I feel like to be able to do social media, you have to have a level of personality or be entertaining. You have to be entertaining. So now it comes a mix of, it's great to be a journalist, but you also have to be some level of entertainer. But now if you are just an entertainer to do journalism, you have to have a level of journalistic skill to also be able to do interviews. I think it's important to be able to have a mix of both, because some people don't engage with questions in the same way. Some people do want to have like a fun game. Some people do just want to have just a nice like vibe conversation and not drive. Maybe they just want to see the personality of the actors online, and also that's all fine, but there also needs to be like a level of respect to the actual craft, and you do that by actually understanding what role they play in the film or the thing that they did that they're in, and just like ask questions that are appropriate to the concept that you guys have and put together. But yeah,
it's interesting, Carl. I think we see today now more than ever, when I see junkets, I'm seeing fellow creators who are like started a page 2 years ago, a year ago, just out of love for what they do. And slowly but surely, they've managed to find themselves in rooms that you wouldn't normally see themselves in. I think that's beautiful. I think there's a real beauty in, as you said, equaling the playing field and giving opportunities to people that might not have had the opportunity versus, you know, the people that might have went to Oxford and Cambridge and all of the greatest universities in the country who have had the better opportunities, and then they're just in the rooms. And I think it's nice to be able to see a variety, because we're all going to see things differently. We're all going to have a different perspective of said TV series or movie or theatre show or whatever piece of art it is. And I think it's really nice to be able to see. I don't know if you guys have seen the Denzel Washington one with Z. Her name's Zainab. She does interview.
Yeah.
I was like, that's beautiful to see, man. Like the bond and the rapport that they had. Who'd like to think the next time he sees her, he's going to, I remember you. And I think we've seen it before. I've seen loads of interviews where like the actors are, I spoke to you last time and blah, blah, blah. And it's really nice to see.
There's one particular American guy that always has like tickets of like, like 20 years ago, I was there to watch.
Oh, Kevin McCarthy.
Yeah, he's freaking great.
Why do you like him?
Because you can tell that he loves cinema.
He's a dork.
Yeah, he is. He is. He's an absolute neek. And he respects the people that...
Neek.
In the nicest way possible. In the best way possible. And you can tell that he respects the people that actually do this thing. Because he asks questions that are very specific about what he just watched about the film. And it's not like he just goes in there to just big them up. He goes in there to get a deeper understanding of what he just watched and what he just engaged with. And you can tell that the actors love it as well, like, because they remember him every time they have to do interviews with him. And that's what I love him. It's like, I'm now understanding the film better because of the question that you asked. I'm now understanding the piece of work or this bit of art with a bit more clarity because of the questions he's asked. And I think that's another part of journalism that I think is important for us to get an understanding of that piece of art outside of the actual film. So I think that's what's great.
You know what we're also seeing? I don't know if you've noticed it yourself. We're seeing... So, like, me and Manny like to review things, right? That's the main thing. But you have people that, like, there's a guy called Tom, I forgot his surname, and he goes around to sets and takes pictures of the sets and then shows it to the actors, like, this is the set, da, 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 da. And it's like there's different ways of approaching the interview. It can still be done with, like, professionalism and integrity, but at the same time, you can bring you into the room. And I think that's what's sort of shifted in recent years. But I want to know where you think now... Firstly, where do content creators or influencers or where can they look to sort of maybe either improve or fit within the changing ecosystem? Like, what would you say?
I think it's what you said about just being curious about the art, because essentially that's the whole point. The questions are to show your curiosity, and if you're curious about the art, it will always come across in the interview. So I think that's the main thing for everyone. Just be curious about what you're doing. I think that's the whole... like ethos about journalism, being curious and exposing the truth. That's what I think it is. And if you're keen to be curious about or interrogate the art, then it will just come across in however you choose to present it. It could be a concept, it could be the photos, it could be about the set, it could be a serious question. I think that's just to be the baseline.
That's the thing though, there's so much you could ask somebody and still bring like who you are.
It's
like production design. I find that some of the most fascinating things to talk about, because that's the world that the characters have to live in. That's the world that the actors have to navigate and make us believe that's real. Because otherwise it's just like, oh, they're acting. You want to believe the world, and then you want to believe the world that the characters are in. And that's just one example. Cinematography, you've got storytelling, you've got character arcs, like you've got a particular scene that might have resonated with you. There's so many various options to like really delve into, and I'm glad to see there's been a bit of a pushback against particular types of questions that are asked, like the Fantastic Forms, you know what I'm talking about, right?
That
was a weird press run, very odd press run, and you could see the actors were so
exhausted
and uncomfortable, and I even feel sorry for them. Have you ever done an interview and you're like before you go in, I know you've had like 10 interviews in a row, and before they walk, when they walk in, you can see, sometimes you can see like the fatigue or the it's straining, man.
There's one I had where I was like towards the end of the day,
and
they were wearing hotel slippers, and I was like, when I saw that, I was like, oh
yeah, you're ready to dip.
And I had 15 minutes with them. So I was like yeah,
you got the 15 minute buffer.
This is gonna be a very long chat, and even like you can see them like yawning and stretching. I was like, even if you try, they're just tired, and I get it. They're just tired, it's been a long day.
How did that go?
I felt like it dragged. I feel like it went okay, but I didn't feel like... I'm quite hard on myself. I personally didn't think it was one of my best interviews. I just felt like when you're tired, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard.
The circumstances didn't give you the space maybe to have what you would deem your best interview though.
Yeah. At the same time, so. And I was also cold, so I was wearing my coat. I don't really like wear my coat when I'm in interviews. I feel like that comes across. Even like... And when I posted the clip, I posted a clip and I haven't posted any other clips. And my dad commented on this, like, why are you wearing your coat? I was like, bro, why are you here? First of all,
Hey, Pops is on you.
Like, why are you wearing your coat? And I was like, well, yeah, I'm never doing that again. But I was just really cold, 15 minutes. Like, you know, I get cold really easily. So, yeah, that's the one example where I'm like, this is not going to go as well as I would hope it would go, but I'm gonna try. There was also another interview that I had where the film, what was the film called? It was that film that was split in half. Oh, and it had an intermission.
The Brutalist.
Yeah, yeah, that one. Yeah, he's very serious.
The director or the actor?
The lead, I've forgotten his name.
Brody.
Adrian Brody.
Yeah, he's very serious. I remember I tried to like do a little, and I don't really do jokes, and I was like, because it was very bright. When I walked in, the room was bright. I was like, oh, it's so bright here. Like, you might even need sunglasses. It's like,
yeah, he wasn't having it.
Yeah, he was like, he was still in character. So even when he was talking, he was like,
he looks like that type of guy, to be fair.
He was just so like talking slowly, quietly. Even I had to almost like lean forward a little bit because I was like, so that's one. I was like, yeah, I'm not sure about that one.
That interview sounded brutal.
It's not funny. It's just not funny. It's just not funny. We can't allow that, man. What happened to our integrity? Blimey,
it was funny. It's okay, bud. You'll have to laugh.
The worst thing is the 5 minutes. I think 5 minutes. Because obviously you have to maximize your time and so on and so forth. But I hate when you're like mid question and then the person in the background is like wrap it up and it's like, bro, I get it. But they're like so forceful. And I don't know if you've noticed it yourselves and you do junkets and you get to the hotel. And you're sitting there and you're trying to like just get in the zone. And the PRs are just like up and down, stressing, just everywhere, stress. And then they'll change your time. And then they'll say you're moving forward. And then like, no, you're coming up next. And they'll, it's like, bro, I'm trying to like lock in here.
Yeah.
And everyone else around me is just causing panic.
Yeah.
It's one of the worst. I don't know if you guys have experienced it yourself.
I think one of the most recent junkets I did, I got there like 10 minutes early. As soon as I got there, it's like, can you do the interview now?
I need to calm down.
I need a minute.
I just got off the train, man.
I need a minute, bro.
Yeah, give me a second.
Yeah, when I did it anyway. But I can't lie, it was for I didn't care for it at all.
I know you didn't.
Yeah, what
I
film was it?
It was a TV show. It was for
Gangs of London.
Gangs of London.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, shows, I say the show is fine. Like, it's so completely fine. But it naturally has a fan base because of the type of show it is. I just don't think it's the best of that kind of show. I think it's like the all action thrilling kind of type of that show, rather than like really focus on storytelling. I like the balance of both. You can thrill me but also guide me towards somewhere, and that's Gangs of London's a bit just full throttle. I'm assuming
it's very gory.
You've seen it? Oh, so you resonate. Yeah, it's very action.
Do you know what's worse about that? When I got there, I forgot to mention that I saw somebody that I knew there and she just done the interview. It's like, yeah, man, it wasn't good.
That doesn't help.
Actually, no.
No, I'm not doing that. Yeah.
I wanted to know who they had, but...
Yeah, no.
Let's yeah. Not, fair enough.
I think my biggest transition was going from... Because we're feature writing, you'll have like an hour, 45 minutes minimum with someone. Then I went to having that, then 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So that was my biggest adjustment when I started doing drunk hits. Because I was like, how can you get anything from 5 minutes? Yeah. So that was a very... very big learning curve. Like, my first junket was...
What was your first?
It was Alien... Romulus? Yeah.
2024, yeah, last year. Yeah.
And the cast were just laughing. And I was getting irritated because, like, I only have... This one I had 4 minutes. There's two of them. They're just giggling with each other. And I'm just, like, getting a bit... And also, I didn't know that when you walk into the room, there's people there. So I thought it was just me and the talent. When I walked in, there's agents, there's timekeepers.
Oh, my God. Everyone's stress heads. Leave me alone, man.
And I'm never, this is my first... And I also never really been on camera. So I was also like, whoa, this is a lot.
Yeah.
Like, my first... And no one told me this is what happens inside the room. So that was not good. And then I then found out that there's, like, a screening room where, like, the agents and other publicists watch it as well. So there's loads of people watching it outside of the room.
I didn't know that.
And I was like, yeah, you shouldn't have told me that because... Yeah, but that was my... So again,
loads of eyes on you.
Yeah, a lot of eyes. But that was I learned that you have to sort of not command the room, but you have to.
Yeah.
Because why command are you giggling?
Command the room.
Yeah, why are you giggling? Like, I'm trying to ask you a question. You're just laughing.
Did that change how you ask questions?
Ooh, it made me revise how I ask questions. Yeah, because I felt like my question was too long-winded.
Yeah.
And I think it didn't translate well. Yeah, that's one thing I've learned. I've learned how to try and shorten my answer my questions and make them a bit more simple. I think before they're a bit too complicated and I'll be talking and like trying to explain it and it's like, no, just try and make it as simple as possible. But then even now, I still feel like my questions aren't very simple, but I try and simplify them.
Yeah.
But yeah, it changed the way I asked questions because I was like, maybe this doesn't work for a short form interview. Yeah, but I still sort of ask similar questions, but I've just changed the way I ask them. Yeah.
Sure. Lenny, do you like, go on, you're going to say something.
Yeah, do you know what else is difficult about 5 minutes interviews? It's because I don't know. I feel like it's really just to sit down and just ask questions right away. Yeah. So I try to like build at some level of rapport when you're sitting down first talking to people. Like, how are you? How's it going? even when we do red carpets, and even when you have like somebody,
they're worse.
Yeah, because we did so when we did Roofman, I had to do Kirsten Dunst and Channing Tatum.
Sorry, big time.
I love that. You've done
great film. You've done bigger people. You interviewed Martin Scorsese. So, can't call me big time. So, but when
he got me, man.
But when we have those interviews, they tell us you only get to have one question. But I can't just like right away just ask the question. I get it. We're here to do a job, but come on, bro. Like,
we're humans.
Yeah, man. Like, I'm trying to at least have a level of conversations. Like, how are you? Like, or, like you look cold. Like, are you okay? Like, you do because one of them was the the girl. The daughter, I can't remember her name. Lovely girl. You can tell that she's a star.
The youngest
daughter. Yeah. You can tell like she's.
It's been a really good year for child actors. I'm gonna say that.
She's in another TV show with she's in a TV show. Mark Ruffalo. I can't remember the name of it.
Task.
Yes, she's in it. Mm. But yeah, you can tell like speaking to her, you can tell like she's a star. Mm-hmm. Like she's a star. But I can't like. I just feel like it's so rude. I get five minutes to go a lot of people to interview, but I can't just ask the question right away. Let me see how you are. Let me introduce myself.
I think we did that with Marion John Baptiste. We were like,
you're like
heritage for us.
Yeah, man.
She was like, oh no. At the end, she said to us, oh, like, love what you're doing. All the best with the podcast. Blah 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 blah. Like, it was nice to be able to just speak with her before speaking with her.
Yeah.
But then in the background, the PRs and the agents are stressing, trying to get everyone in, trying to get them through, and they're like, yeah, well, you want to prioritize them, prioritize that. So. Yeah, it's jarring. But Manny, what are your thoughts on just like now content creators being in the space? Do you think it's like a positive thing? What have you seen that you've enjoyed seeing from creators being in the space, I guess?
I love seeing it because I think now it's definitely shifting more to... Before, like I would say like 2 years ago, a year and a bit ago, it was more so people that are... Content creators that are just popular in whatever they're doing get thrown into to do journalism for film and TV, whether they've done anything to do with film and TV before. I don't think that was any good. Now we're seeing people that make film and TV content that are now being asked to do these junkets. And I love seeing that because these are people that actually care about the craft. And now they get to ask questions and also build experience in doing so. Mm. So now they do one interview now. In a year's time, they would have done quite a few. And now you can see that there's a bit more confidence in the type of questions they ask a bit better. And I'm seeing a lot of the interviews that I see now are mainly actual film and TV content creators that are asking questions. And I think with that experience, you build and become a better journalist in that way. Because I feel like we've gotten better at asking questions. We've gotten better at interrogating the questions. Or
somewhat. Come on, carry on.
Come on, bro. We've gotten better.
You know what I mean? I have to add the British pessimism, you know?
And I think when you give people these opportunities that actually care about the craft, they will only improve. And I think it's only good. I think it improves the level of journalism.
Standard, yeah, yeah.
Journalist standard improves just because of that. So yeah, I love seeing it.
Like we've seen Jay, Flex by Jay, has been on the pod, really good creator. He did his first Landman junket recently for season two. And then I have another fellow creator, India. I think she did her first one with Ethan Hawke maybe last month, but it came out this week.
Was that her first junket?
First junket, man.
Oh, she smoked it.
First junket, man.
She smoked it.
Yeah, and it's just nice to see film creators and TV creators who love the art form in those spaces. And it's like, and I think it's also because, I don't know if you'd agree, Manny, but when, let's say like 4 years ago, 3 years ago, when I joined on TikTok, I used to see a lot of American creators making like film and TV content, not many UK people.
Yeah.
And now I'm seeing like UK creators thrive that love film and TV. And I've been able to, they'll be viewed as influencers, just use the quotation marks, and but have been able to build a following, and that means they can now be in the spaces just through loving film and TV rather than having to be a comedian or like, you know, all that sort of other stuff. I think it's nice to see, man.
No, definitely. 100%. Yeah.
From a journalist perspective, I do think it's made journalists feel like they also now need to become content creators.
Yeah, I've seen it.
And that's been what I've been like
wrestling with.
Yeah, because I just want to put out the work, but then it feels like you also have to have more sort of thing. It's weird. It's like you have to have a brand. You have to have other content outside of your actual interviews. You have to be an entity, essentially.
That's tough, yeah.
And I think that's been interesting, especially with journalists that I speak to. That whole thing of now you have to have a brand. You have to be very, very visible online. Mm. Outside of your just sharing stories. Before, people just used to share stories or share their work. But now it's like, you can't just share your work. You have to also share other things around your work, like other content around your work. Mm. And I find that very interesting. And I'm very curious to see how that maybe will change how journalism is done. Or even your entry to journalism is very different now. Like anyone, I feel like now it's because everyone is doing journalism, it's changed the way that journalism is done, yeah. I think, or even consumed.
Yeah.
Because I found that even though I've been a journalist for a long time, I was mostly just writing. I didn't do any video journalism or broadcast journalism. And I found that when I started doing more broadcast journalism, I've gotten more like interaction with people that engage in my work.
Mm.
But when I was writing...
You're aware that they're interacting because with written, you don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Even though I would share like, I don't know, screenshots or PDFs on... like online, the interaction is very different. And okay. I found, and it's made me think, is it because people consuming the news or journalism differently?
Yeah.
Do they prefer written journalism? Do people still read like long form magazines, even though I really love doing that? I don't know, it's just interesting.
It's a different way of putting words together as well, because I study journalism and I used to write quite often. And the way I would write for a written piece is completely different to how I write like a video essay, especially now today where I try to be quite intricate when I put stuff out there to the world, but at the same time, I don't want to sell myself short by putting something out that's just like a minute long and I've barely said anything. At the same time, you want to keep people engaged, and it's a really fine line between, but then the main point, I guess, is writing a written feature is completely different to like a video essay. It's completely, because I'd probably be more intricate with the feature. Feature. It's a really interesting balancing act. What do you think the future holds for like journalism then in like the film and TV space? Do you think, because you mentioned, I was really intrigued when you said, oh, you know, journalists are now looking at creators and considering content and stuff, but like for a certain demographic or age group, that's going to be a hard transition naturally, right? I'd assume.
Yeah, definitely. So what's your question?
I guess the question is like, what do you think the future holds for those individuals and just journalism as a whole?
I feel like you have to put yourself out there. There's no secret, I think. Because even I remember when I first started doing Junkies, I was never going to share them. It was one of my friends that she was like, why are you not sharing?
Shout out to the friend.
I was like, oh, I don't know. I just felt it really uncomfortable, like being in front of the camera. I was just like,
putting yourself out there to the world.
Yeah, I find that weird. Even like when I started the podcast, I really struggled with that at first. Because it's like, weird. And even if you notice on the podcast, there's no videos of me.
Yeah.
The videos are always on the guest. Because I've just never wanted it to be about me, because it's not about me.
But it kind of is, isn't it?
Now I feel like it's changed a lot. Yeah, it's really interesting. So I think that you have to put yourself out there. You have to be innovative. You have to... And I think a writer that I spoke to, he basically was saying that at the end of the day, the right people will find your work, regardless of what you do or the medium format, because now everyone's reading newsletters again.
Yeah.
So like the right people will find your work as long as you just keep putting it out, being consistent with it. The right audience will find it. And it may be small, it may be large, but the people that need to engage with your art, your creativity, will engage with it. But yeah, I feel like it is forcing us to be visible. But I'm also still torn between the idea of what visibility actually means. Mm. I don't think it means oversharing, or now you have to bring your personal life, I have to start doing room tours.
No.
Like, I don't feel like that's necessary, but I feel like...
Yeah. It's more like branding.
Yeah, but just long. Yeah. It's just long, because why? Especially if you just want to do your job, but then it just feels like now to doing your job as a journalist also means having a brand and being visible so people can actually consume your work, because if not, content creators would do that for you or fill in that gap, essentially.
Yeah,
I wrestled with it for quite a while, but
what's been your favorite interview?
I think Kerry Washington and Tyler
Perry. Kerry Washi and a Scandal. I'm a Scandal fan, so that's
Kerry Washi.
Yeah, Kerry Washi, man. I have to shorten the name. I think she's great.
Yeah, yeah. I really enjoyed that interview. I also really enjoyed my interview with Jeff Goldblum and Jonathan Bailey for last year's Wicked.
It's a bit big time, isn't it? It's a
bit big time. She's the big time.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to stop here.
No.
Yeah, I'll say those were some of my favourites. And also, I interviewed the children of Christopher Reeves, the previous man. I interviewed his kids for their documentary, and I really, really enjoyed that interview. The room felt so... I don't know how to explain it. Like, I was quite, like, close to tears. They were all quite close to tears. Yeah. I don't know. It's like everything, the time stopped during that interview.
That's what it's about, though. It's the human connection and emotion that you can find with people that you've never met before. I think that's where the world and what we do, I guess, is really interesting, because whether it's watching something or, like, a conversation about a piece of art or something that's occurred, it can draw, like, really real emotions from you, and you can resonate with someone. I think it's really powerful, man.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That happened to me when I interviewed Brendan Fraser for his new film, The Family. No, Rental Family. It's not out yet, but...
Heard it's emotional.
Yeah. And even, like, everyone that did an interview with him, or some people came out crying, or some people came out teary, and I came out teary-eyed. It's like his eyes... It's like he's on the verge of tears. And his eyes kind of, like, draw you in. And I had to wrap the interview up because I was like, I'm not crying on camera. So.
I cut
it short because I was like, I'm getting too...
Drawn into this.
Yeah, I'm getting too emotional. And I don't really understand why.
Yeah.
But that's a really good film, by the way. Really good film. Really good.
Manny, do you have a favourite interview you've done?
Favourite interview I've done? It was the... It's not my favourite. I think it was one of my favourite questions that I've asked.
Go on.
It was with the director of Iron Claw.
Oh!
And
2024, like February, January, I remember that.
Early, and there was a scene in Iron Claw. Have you seen Iron Claw?
Good movie, by the way.
Good film.
You need to watch that.
I'll tell you a little bit about it. In Iron Claw, his dad is really obsessed with his children winning a particular belt.
It's wrestling, yeah.
And then that's what this film is about for most time. And we get to a scene where one of the children wins it, but we get no scenes of them actually getting the belt, celebrating the belt, or anything to do with the belt. It just cuts off to a different scene. So asking a question about this, like, what was the reason why we spent so much time focusing on that belt, but when we get to that scene, we don't see a scene. It feels like the film is not about the belt at all. It's like, yeah, that's right. It's not about the belt. It's about X, Y, Y, Z. And I really enjoyed the engagement with that question. But aside of that, it'd probably be somebody that we had on a pod, which I don't think is the same thing.
Josh was cool.
Joshua was really good, yeah.
That was fun.
That's a funny way for you to say it. I really enjoyed that interview. Joshua's cool.
Oh, no, but you know me. You know me, man.
Yeah.
I meant that it was good. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I really enjoyed Josh. I really enjoyed when we done it with Ali Hughes and Danny Mosley for
Black. You and Biss, double wax.
Yeah, because, again, I was really excited to speak to you. I was really excited to speak to Danny Mosley because she's one of the actors in it. But I was also really excited to speak to Ali Hughes because one of the writers. And I think the first time we had... That had to be you to do that pod. Yeah. I loved it.
Before we round up, we want to know, I'm really intrigued because obviously you did the feature about the podcast last year. Had you listened to it beforehand?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Again, you just
don't know who's listening or watching.
Don't know. And I said that to somebody.
Who's your favourite from the pod?
My favourite.
Pesola, isn't it?
Thank you.
Sorry. Don't apologize.
You just knew who I was gonna say.
Yeah.
I get that a lot.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts on the pod then, and why did you decide to feature the pod? I'm really intrigued. As our final closing question.
I think it's the fact that you have so many different opinions. Because sometimes you can get with certain podcasts, it can just be very one sided. But because there's a few voices, there's always like a good collection of opinions.
Basola will always have a different opinion.
And I like that.
Always.
I like that.
Without fail.
Even if that's not an opinion. I'm joking. That's the host thing.
I was going to say that's more you, but it's not you. Yes. No, I don't think he tries. I don't think he's a...
I don't think we really have a contrarian.
No, I don't think we do. Biss can be a contrarian. She can. She defo can.
If we like something too much.
She can be so stubborn in. But no, she's definitely great.
Yeah. But sorry, you were saying?
Yeah, and I feel like it's a good representation of like what it's like when you do watch a film or TV show.
Yeah.
Those discussions you have with your friends. Like, yeah, you can really like, attack it and no one's offended, no one's upset.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
have you had like fallouts?
Yeah. Not fallouts.
Nothing ever OTT.
Yeah.
You had a mad one with Hoster.
He started shouting. You got vexed.
Yeah, there was an argument about Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Have you seen it?
You're not miss. I wouldn't say you're missing out on too much personally.
Yeah,
it's a good movie though.
Yeah, apparently there's no villain or antagonist in the film.
So how does it film work?
Oscars.
How does the film work without either of them?
Oh, ask him.
So what does he say there is?
He just said the person wasn't an antagonist or the person wasn't a villain. That's what the argument was.
It's a clear villain, by the way. Like so clear. Oh. Yeah, like blatant, horrible. You can somewhat understand where he's got, but definitely a villain.
They give him like a background as well to make sure you know this is a bad guy.
Yeah. So this is your favorite.
Yeah.
And you like the fact that we will have like varying opinions.
Yeah.
We've been doing this 4 years, man. So it's mad to think that feature was something that was quite important to us. And really appreciate you doing that. And the fact you listen is a madness to me. Because I was just like, I don't think people listen to the pod.
Mm-hmm.
I know they do.
Yeah, people listen.
Yeah, man. Pissoli is your favorite. That's a shame.
That makes sense.
Did you want me to say you?
Oh no, I'm never anyone's favorite. It's normally it'll be him or Biss.
Okay.
Because they're the most likable, I think. Yeah.
I think Jason's more likable than me.
When he's here.
Yeah, fair. Part timer.
Yeah, when he's here. Well, we want to thank you for joining us today, man. Yeah, really, really do appreciate your time. No, seriously, it's been a really fun, free flowing kind of conversation. Yeah. Socials, do you want to plug your socials if you want to? I know you're a bit shy about that, so you might not want to.
It's YOLA and then Falhinmi. So Yola Falhinmi. Yeah.
Instagram.
My name's too long to fit for whole Instagram. Yes, my Instagram.
Yeah. You're not on TikTok, are you?
I am.
Okay. So same on TikTok?
But it's Yolante Falhinmi on TikTok.
Perfect. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe if you've enjoyed the pod. If you haven't, then I guess don't. But if you have, let us know your thoughts on the podcast. We really want to know where you think we can continue to improve, what kind of episodes you want from us. And obviously hit the bell so that you know when the episodes are dropping next.
Yes, sir.
And we are the Post-Credit Scene Podcast, 14 yes, HQ Original, Lovers of Film, TV and Theatre. I didn't do the intro.
You do the outro.
I didn't do the outro. Lovers of Film, TV and Theatre. And that's us over and out.
Cheers.
Hi, I'm Lashana Lynch and you are listening to the Post-Credit Scene Podcast.